Okay, good morning to everyone. I want to give you just a short report on a small project that we've done over the past 2 years at the Fiber and Biopolymer Research Institute. It was undertaken basically to explore how far we could expand the utilization of our better Texas fibers into the higher count, higher valued yarns. And the focus, as you can see here, was put on plied yarns. Why plied yarns? Well, the reasons are pretty compelling. Number one, the greatest shortcoming of ring-spun yarns is the susceptibility to unwinding. The nature of the structure is such that the least bit of physical abrasion in the yarn stage can cause it to unwind. This becomes a problem in processing. By doubling or plying the yarns, you take two or more yarns, in this case we just took two, and twist the yarns together. This creates a very cohesive structure that is not susceptible to unwinding. So once you get these yarns twisted together, they are very robust, both in the process of weaving or knitting, and in the robustness of the performance of the fabric itself. So these are your plied yarns are your most highly valued material in textile substrates. And the plied yarns are known, very well known, to result in the most even yarn structure available, in addition to enabling the most durable textile products. So this, all of this helps explain this. Why Texas cottons is the next question. Well, since the two yarns are doubled, high-end apparel applications require that the single yarns be fine yarns, because you basically are, if you double them, you're doubling the size of the yarn itself. So you have to start generally for high valued application, you have to start with a high count, and this requires longer and finer fibers in order to achieve these high counts. The dominant Texas varieties are genetically fine varieties. And the best of these we simply expected would be long enough to achieve what we were after. Furthermore, these Texas cottons we know are already being combed and used globally to spin medium to fine count yarns in textile mills around the world. We know this because of communications we have with the textile mills. Now, the Acala cottons from California, the San Joaquin Valley of California, have historically been used for these plied yarns, and the Texas cottons have, over the past decade or so, been able to replace a lot of these Acala fibers in the textile mills. And as you may or may not know, California has gone from a large-scale Acala producer to a fairly small-scale Acala producer because most all of their cotton now is focused on Pima, the extra-long staple cotton that we grow in the U.S. So all of this explains why we took this focus. We know that it already has some traction globally, and we wanted to provide information and data to other mills that to give them the opportunity to consider these alternatives. Now, the most remarkable characteristic of plied yarns is great improvement in the evenness properties, not the strength. It doesn't really improve your tensile strength, but it greatly improves your evenness. And evenness is the bigger problem for the Texas fibers. We can make strong enough yarns, but we have trouble making them even enough. And by plying, it offers a very available method for alleviating the evenness problems. So this all helps explain why we undertook this little project. So the objectives were to evaluate, to demonstrate the suitability of the longer stapled Texas fibers for high-value plied yarns, and to produce these under typical high-speed industrial conditions, so that when we represent these data to the textile mills, they will take it as being useful for extrapolating into their textile operations. We started last year with 80 two-ply ring spun yarns with a weaving twist. We started with the 80 for the weaving because this was the greater challenge. We wanted to make sure that that we could do this at the at what we considered something representing the extreme of our situation. It was just the more difficult target. So we did this last year. I reported on it last year. The success was good. And so this year we targeted 60 two-ply ring-spun yarns for knitting. And we did this primarily just to be able to make knitted fabric. We wanted to make fabric and dye it to give a good indication of the quality look that the fabric had and how well it performed in these downstream processes. So, as I say, we reported on the 82 ply last year. The yarns last year were produced on both conventional and compact ring spinning. And we proved that feasibility to reach certainly the strength thresholds, and the plying did result in superior evenness. Now, just a little primer here. Why is the 80 count such a challenge? Well, the 80 count yarn is so fine that it takes over 38 miles of it to weigh a pound. So, we're, you know, just to give you a sense of how fine these yarns have to be. For the 60 count, it takes 28.64 miles of the yarn to weigh 1 pound. And just to give you some perspective, if you think of denim, a coarse count yarn takes about 2.86 miles to make 1 pound of the yarn. So you can see that when you get to 60 and 80 counts, you're in some pretty tough territory. So we did the 62-ply ring-spun yarns for knitting this year. The knit yarns, by nature of the product, the utilization of them, have less twist than the weaving yarns. Now, this is not why we chose to make the 60s, frankly. We were confident that we could do this. But the 62 plies are very fine for use in making knit fabrics, due to the fact that the fabric structure requires a somewhat coarser yarn in order to provide acceptable coverage. If you could see the knit fabric we produced from, you would be impressed at how fine, how light it is, and you just simply can't. If you did it with 80 counts, you'd see through it. You just see everything underneath it. Only compact ring spinning was used this year. We did both last year, but in this type of production, compact spinning represents really the dominant global practice. So we didn't worry further with our conventional ring spinning this time. So as in the previous phase, the IMDS lab spinner, individual motor drive system lab spinner, was used to demonstrate the feasibility to save time, We basically proved the concept on this little lab spinner and then took it to the industrial machines. And then the complete testing was done on industrial spinning machines. The Susan Elite compact spinning system is what we use in our laboratory. That is the most dominant manifestation of compaction around the world now, primarily because it can be retrofitted onto existing ring spinning machines. This is just shows you a picture of the of our lab spinner. This is a completely re-engineered SKF lab spinner. It now exists in a Windows environment with every function on this being controlled on the computer panel, whether it's spindle speed, the spinning geometry, everything. You type it in, and you get immediate. We can actually change the yarn counts without stopping the machine, and so we can spin multiple counts even on the same bobbin. And this is proven to be a very useful tool. Here is a shot of our Susan with the Elite setup. In fact, you can see the Elite here and the conventional here in our lab. Now, we selected 9 samples of Texas Plains cottons. These were all, they were not just from Texas, but they were from the Texas High Plains, because we wanted to focus on this very highly concentrated production area. We used the IMDS lab spinner to demonstrate to our complete satisfaction that these were going to be able to complete the project. In many cases, we're now doing the industrial spinning because that's what the industrial people want to see. Now, here is the HVI data from these 9 samples. So you can see the quality of the fibers that we were having. You can see they're fairly long staple. There's nothing here less than 37 on the old 32nd thing, and several of them are 38s. So they're fairly long with pretty good uniformities, you know, all of them above 81 approximately, some of them approaching 83. The micronaires reveal that by and large these were fairly mature fibers, because we knew the fineness of these fibers when we started. They're going to be basically fully mature on the average at about 4.2, and we had some of these were miking higher than that. It hardly mattered. We knew they were all fine to begin with. You can see that we weren't choosing the average Texas Plains cotton fibers. These were some of the better stuff. In the year that we chose these, there was probably about 3 million bales of this quality that could have been accessed. We chose the cotton out of our Texas Plains variety trials. All of them are commercially grown, and we had to make no special effort to get these. Just to give you a bit more information, here is some of the APHIS data. Use the APHIS because you have to have it to get NEPS, the short fiber content, immature fiber content, maturity ratio and fineness. This is just verification that there were no surprises in any of the properties. Oftentimes your biggest surprises will come with a poor length distribution or some other such factor that HVI cannot adequately measure. We saw no problems in that. So we combed these cottons only enough to reach what we consider a global standard for short fiber removal. You know, we also want to be able to tell the textile industry that, you know, we didn't comb it to death. We only took 15% out, which is a fairly typical global percentage when you do comb fiber by weight, to take out about that much. We spun it into the 60 single yarns according to industrial procedures at industrial speeds. We plied and twisted the yarns according to global manufacturing procedures. And since the 62 plies are the same size as a 30 single, we produce 30 single yarns just for comparison with the plied yarns and measure the strength and evenness properties. Using the fiber analysis knitter, we made single jersey knit fabric from the samples from each one of these produced, dyed all of the sample fabrics in a common dye bath, one single dye bath, Beck dyeing machine, using what was our reactive blue 19. That's our preferred dye for evaluating this kind of performance. So the results. This simply shows you the yarn sizes, and it just simply verifies that we were able to produce the yarn sizes we were after. For all practical purposes, the 62 ply is the same size as the 30 single. So we're looking at, we're going to do the best we can to compare apples with apples here. Yarn strength. And you can see, of course, the 60 single is a lot weaker. By and large, the 62 ply is approximately the same strength as the 30 singles. This is to be expected. The people who spin the plied yarns will quickly tell you that you don't get a higher tensile strength from plying compared to a single yarn. Now, let's go to the evenness, because this is really the target that we're after anyway. You can see there that the 62 ply, the red line, has a much smaller CV, with the worst, of course, being the 60 single. But this illustrates to you how much benefit you get in the evenness. And this is important, because this reflects what the eye detects, you know, in these fabrics when they're formed up. Thin places, you know, the thin places is probably the most critical of the properties of the yarns from the standpoint of processing and fabric appearance. And you can see there that basically we zeroed out the thin places by plying the yarn. The 30 single wasn't that bad, but the 62 ply basically eliminates the thin places. And why is this the case? Because the thin places are fairly rare occurrences, so that the probability that you're going to put two thin places together is virtually zero when you twist these yarns together. And so the instrument and the eye does not see any thin places. And, of course, you also don't have a thin place to break when you're trying to form the fabric. Thick places, likewise, you can see how much better the red line there is by plying these yarns. Nep count, likewise, we get down to very low nep counts. The IPI, the total imperfections, this is simply the sum of the thick places, thin places, and neps. And the result, of course, is a very good one for the plied yarns. And here, I didn't bring any of these fabrics along. This one on the right is the ply yarn. This is the 30 single here. And I'll just assert to you, you know, that when you look at this with the eye, the fabric on the right looks like a much nicer fabric. Nothing was done with these except dyeing and scouring, washing them. And no additional finishing was done on either one of them. But if you look at these fabrics, you'll see why people like plied yarns. The fabric are much more relaxed and dimensionally stable, and everything just works better. And I think that's it. The highest quality yarns are being produced on the Texas Plains are suitable for producing these types of high-end textile in-use products. And now our efforts need to continue to communicate this potential of these fibers to the global textile markets, because as with Dr. Yang, our objective is to try to move these fibers into the market.
All right, thank you.